Would like, with God's help, to turn and read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. And to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bare him witness, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, Is not this Joseph's son? And he said unto them, Ye will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Eliseus the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him to the brow of the hill whereupon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way, and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man which had the spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace, and come out of him." And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him, and hurt him not. And they were all amazed, and spake among themselves, saying, "What a word is this! For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out." And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. And he arose out of the synagogue, and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out, saying, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of God." And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place. And the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, "I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent." And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. I've read the entire chapter. May God bless the reading of his word. May we all bow in prayer. When Jesus was with his disciples, he asked them a question. "Whom do you say that I am?" A very important question, and one as we read the Gospels and read of Jesus' life, his deeds, and his teachings, we gain insight so that we can answer the question for ourselves. Who do you say that Jesus Christ is? The scripture teaches us that God will provide for all of our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Does that come to your mind when you think of Jesus, the one who provides for all of my needs, the one in whom I depend and rely upon? Jesus described our relationship as disciples of his as the relationship between a vine and the branches, where the branches gain all of that they need for their sustenance and fruitfulness from the vine. Who is Jesus? Do the thoughts go heavenward to one who can provide all of our needs, upon whom we depend vitally for our spiritual well-being and physical, for everything? It is my hope and prayer as we would read the Gospel of Luke chapter 4, read about Jesus Christ, that we would be stirred, even as we were this morning, as we contemplate what insight does this passage give us to answer the question, who is Jesus? How precious is he? How valuable? And with what high regard do I consider this wonderful Savior? I believe this is important for us as we would navigate through this world and seek to be diligent. It is to have that high esteem for Jesus Christ and for his word that would be very beneficial for us and helpful for us as individuals and as a church. And as we look at the gospel, we do learn about Jesus Christ. And we will also have an opportunity to answer the question, who am I? Because the light of the gospel reveals Jesus Christ and also shines a light upon our hearts. So with God's help, let us look. Let us keep that in mind. Let us take that away with us to answer the question, who is Jesus? We see Jesus here as he is tempted by the devil, and he is responding with the word to the temptations that come to him. We see him victorious in this season of temptation. And is that not who we need as our Savior? One who is victorious over temptation. One who can understand the battle that we go through when the world and its messaging comes to us and seeks to overwhelm all of our senses and our thoughts. And we say, with faith, we will follow Jesus and take the word that we've learned and turn the world away. And we'll depend upon Jesus in faith, trusting on him and waiting for him to provide us deliverance, because he has shown us that he's capable. We on our own are not capable. We have no chance. But there's a battle for each of us. And we need a victor. We need one like David who came and slew Goliath. Jesus is that answer. He is the one to whom we need to run, to whom we need to cling. And so we see how much we need him. We see in the continuing of the chapter, Jesus teaches. And he heals a man that had a demon. He preached about deliverance from satanic powers, but he also gave the power and the ability to be free. He didn't just teach good words and said, you know, have fun, go ahead, see if you can sink or swim. No, he provided all that was needed. And same thing with us. We read the scriptures, we find the wisdom of Jesus and his teachings, but we also find that in him is deliverance from the satanic forces that are at work in this world, that work and try to chisel at our faith and our confidence in the word. We know that they are there. Sometimes we are not so aware of them, but Jesus said that there is a strong man who is keeping his household. And unless someone stronger comes and binds the strong man and spoils his house, he's not going to let go. Jesus is that stronger man. And he has come to bind Satan and to put the powers and principalities of this that are over this world to an open shame through his cross, and to win a victory for us, that we might be released from the kingdom of darkness and to be brought into the kingdom of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God, and to be a part of his family. Without this strong man, we would have no hope of deliverance. And the teaching of the deliverance of the man that was possessed reminds us how much we need him, how much we depend upon Jesus Christ, how much we look to him with admiration and thanksgiving for the deliverance that he's given us and will give us as we continue to put our faith and trust in him as we continue, even as we were encouraged, to be diligent in our faith. He will provide deliverance. He does not leave us without help and hope. And finally, he speaks of the examples of the amazing healings that he wrought for Simon's mother-in-law. And then as people heard, after the Sabbath day was over and they were not supposed to be traveling on the Sabbath, after the sun came down, they came to Jesus. Doors opened in the streets and people started flooding towards the place where Jesus was. And that Jewish day begins at sunset. That Sunday morning for them, it would begin at sunset. It was a new day because Jesus was there and he was providing healing. And that gives us great comfort because there is a sickness that will touch each of us, and that is death. But Jesus overcomes that and promises the hope of a resurrection, even as he was that first fruits of the resurrection when he rose from the dead. We see Jesus' power. As we think about it and what he has made possible and what he wants for our lives, what he wants for your life, it's amazing. But what we also see in Jesus' healings is his willingness and his compassion. And it is in his compassion that the woman that came back to Jesus and washed his feet with her tears and dried them with her hair because she had been forgiven much, it is in the compassion of Jesus Christ that we will respond with love for him, with dedication and a yielded spirit and a broken heart. Because although he's powerful and he's capable, he knows our weakness and he knows how unworthy we are, and yet he came anyway. He came anyway to give us life, even though we did not deserve it, even though he knew he would be disappointed by our tepid response. He came anyway for you and me. And he did not need to for his own sake. But for our good, he did. And when we realize that compassion of Jesus, as he patiently saw each and every one that came to his door that night and healed them, do we remember the compassion and the forgiveness, the love and the healing that Jesus has shown to us? May our hearts be stirred as we see who Jesus is. And there is this account that appears in the middle of this chapter, which is quite intriguing. Jesus comes out and teaches and explains very clearly and directly who he is and what he came to do. Jesus has been teaching in the synagogues of Galilee, and he comes to his hometown, Nazareth, the place where he was brought up, the place that people knew his parents, they knew his siblings, and he goes to the synagogue, and it says, even as his custom was. It was his custom. It was the thing that he did each week. He went to church. And we would do well also to follow his example. We make that our pattern as well. And as we do, we'll find blessing. And he was given the book to read, and he found the place in the book of Isaiah. And he read a scripture. And he gave the book back. And as their custom was, he gave it back, and then he sat down to teach. And he began to say to them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." This prophecy that the people had hoped for, that they had longed for a Messiah, was finally coming to pass. All of our needs, all of our hopes, are coming to pass in Jesus Christ. But there is great deception, and there's a counterfeit. Hopes and dreams and desires that is being peddled by the world and Satan. And we're taught to turn away from those things. But truly have our hope set on our Savior. And he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." The good news of God's deliverance was going to be given to all. It was not going to be confined to the learned or to the wealthy and the well-to-do. It was going to be spread abroad to the Jew, and then finally, as we see, to the Gentile, to all the world, and delivered to the poor. And God had sent him to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to captives, recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. This was the hope and expectation. And to every single soul who was held captive and felt the shame of their sin and realized what a prison they were in, to everyone who walked in darkness, who knew the things that they were doing were wrong, but had no help and no hope of escaping, this word of the gospel was a very welcome message to them, that finally there was relief, finally there was hope, and things did not need to be the way that they were. And Jesus brought many, many people hope and life. To all that had received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Who would reject a message like this? That deliverance was come, that help was on the way, that help had come, and this day was made available. They bore him witness, though. And we see that their response was not at all what we would expect. Perhaps, when we hear the good news of the gospel and what is made available by God through Christ Jesus, in one sermon they heard, they were ready to kill him. They did not just want him to sit down. They did not just want him to be quiet. They did not just reject him. They were ready to end his life. How is that possible? How could they become so furious at Jesus? The same attitudes that were at work in the people of Jesus' hometown that led them to such an irrational response. We are vulnerable to those attitudes ourselves. Jesus came for a reason, and he came for a certain kind of person. He came for the sick. He came for the poor. He came for the needy. And we are all that way, but we often don't recognize it. Jesus knew their hearts and knew that they would reject him. Even though his hands were extended with blessing and help, they would turn away. And Jesus puts his finger right on that spot in their heart where they resisted him. He says, "You will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country." We're from Jesus' hometown. He's one of us. Why don't you do something for us? Because you're one of us. Don't we deserve it? This is the attitude that all of us are susceptible to, that is the opposite of faith and will endanger our souls. They expected that they deserved something from God. They deserved something from Jesus. They're sons of Abraham anyway, right? They had a birthright. They had a kingdom. What about the blessings for me? And anyway, aren't you Joseph's son? Who do you think you are? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he says. He hath anointed me, he says. Who are you? You're just one of us. You're nothing special. I don't look up to you. And who are these brokenhearted? Who are these blind? Who are these bruised? Who are you talking about? I deserve something. We can easily see and pinpoint the Jews in their self-righteousness, their expectation that they deserve something, and see, yeah, that's from their heritage. That's from their physical birth. And we can see how wrong that is. But is there any time that we deserve the grace and mercy of God? Are we somehow deserving because we were raised in a Christian home? Isn't that the same fallacy that the Jews had fallen into? That by their home and who they were born to, they were worthy for some reason? And I know that all of us who are believers, we had to recognize that. If we were born in a Christian home, that did not give us an advantage. But we needed to come through that straight and narrow gate through faith to Jesus Christ. Maybe because we had faith or have faith at one time. Now we deserve something from God. Besides, that's what we're asked of, to have faith. And so now we deserve. And we can expect anything from God. Is that how it works? There's a very big difference between having the feeling of deserving and being entitled to God's blessing and eternal life, and having a strong confidence that God will provide according to his promises. We are always undeserving of God's goodness, whether we are in the faith or not. And we need to recognize that. God does not owe us, in other words, just because we did something or said something. that now God owes me eternal life. No, we recognize and see that it's only by his gracious gift that he offers it to us. And Jesus continues to press on this button. And he tells them things that they know and they believe. They heard the story of Elijah and Elisha and how in the times of Israel, when their kings were wicked and sinful and the people had left God, that when the prophets needed a place of hiding or when there was a healing that was needed in the case of Naaman, that it was extended outside of the borders of Israel, outside of the ones that felt that they maybe were worthy or the ones that they were identifying with to claim their worthiness. And we see he tells them these things. They would acknowledge them as true, but they don't like to acknowledge that that applies to them. I don't want to be associated with Israel in their sin and Ahab and the king and Jezebel in those times. But if I hear Jesus' teachings and do not recognize how I need to run to him and cling to him and follow him, I'm outside. I'm straying. And in their rage and fury, they stood up and they wanted to throw him over the brow of the hill where their city was built. They wanted to kill him. If Jesus could not give them what they thought they were entitled to, what good is he? It's a very dangerous, dangerous attitude. The attitude of entitlement. But what a blessing. What a blessing it is when we can have the two lessons come together in our hearts. To exalt Jesus Christ, to have a reverence for him and what he has done and what he desires for our life, and then also to have a humility, to understand our need. Family's been sick for 2 weeks, the kids, you know, you lose your sense of smell, you can't do certain things, and you quickly realize when you get sick how helpless we are. When things are going well, it's hard to see, and we fail to recognize. Things are going easy, but how quickly things can change if you lose just one sense or strengthen just one arm. It doesn't take much to cripple us, but we think we're so strong. It's my hope and prayer that we would see who Jesus is and that we would see what this example of people who we can quickly judge how vulnerable we can be to the attitudes that produce such a drastic result. And learn from them and choose otherwise. There are many who are walking in darkness. And the things that we learn about Jesus Christ, we can share with them as the only hope that they can cling to. And maybe if we would share what we were doing this weekend, we would be embarrassed. Maybe we were walking in darkness. Jesus has a word of hope for us. He says in John chapter 8, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Who is Jesus? He is the light of the world, and he calls mankind to follow him. And all those who are walking in darkness, or have struggled and failed with temptation, or are in need of deliverance from the power, the spiritual darkness that exists in this world, or in need of healing, or of hope of eternal life, he says, follow me. If we follow Jesus Christ, he says, you will not walk in darkness, but you will have the light of life. It's my hope and prayer that as we consider who Jesus Christ is, who we are, that we would truly see him as our all in all, that we would look to him to provide for all of our needs. He's abundantly capable. And we have also learned that he is very compassionate. And he's willing. But it's today this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. So today, while he may be heard, may we not harden our hearts, but hear him speaking to us, calling to us, extending his hand of love and help, and may we take hold of it. May God bless his word. Amen.
Who is Jesus? That was the question for us this afternoon. Jesus came to his disciples and he said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they responded by saying, well, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, or one of the other prophets. And then Jesus says, but whom do ye say that I am? And Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed that to thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Jesus wasn't so interested about what others were saying about him. Jesus was interested in impressing upon them who Jesus Christ was to them. And we were being impressed upon this afternoon, who is Jesus Christ to us? Jesus Christ showed us this example of how to overcome temptation. Jesus came and we read this afternoon of how he cast out demons. Jesus healed the sick. Jesus came and brought forth the word of life, was a great teacher. And Jesus is these things to us. He is our life. He is our sustainer. He is our redeemer. He is our power. He is our everything. That's who Jesus Christ is to us. And so may we take that with us. And may we be remembered of these things. The Bible says that all men seek their own and not the things which are Jesus Christ's. And that was true here in Nazareth. They weren't seeking Jesus Christ. They were seeking their own. And when Jesus didn't give them what they wanted to cast him out. They were angry with him. Who is Jesus to us? May God impress that message upon our hearts. Amen.